Hey folks, Dan Freya here with your closing bell for August 22nd, 2024. So what we're looking at, mortgage rates inch up a little bit. I thought they were going to go a little bit higher, but they are. And I'm going to show you the bond market here in a second. What's going on with that? You can see right through here, bonds are down 20 basis points. That means rates are going to go up, tick up about 0.07 or so. So we probably have a little bit more room to move here. You're probably going to see about 6.5, 6.52 by the closing bell. But what's really taking place today? So there was an interview right through here Steve Leisman had, and it was with this, CNBC had, and it's in reference to Jackson Hole. Remember, you guys learned the other day that what Jackson Hole is. It's basically where all the bigwigs, banking people from around the world meet, and the Federal Reserve and all these other people. They meet at Jackson Hole, and they're starting to make policy, and they talk, and they're starting to figure out a lot of things. So let's listen to this this interview. It's intriguing because they start talking about the Inflation Reduction Act and how much money that the government has pumped into the system and why that's causing creating some problems. Then I'm going to show you how much they've really are spending and then how much money is still left over. And is that money being put to good use? So we all like free money. If you like it, you know, raise your hand, but free money comes with a cost. So let's get over to the interview, and then we're going to put a lot of this into perspective. So let's take it away.
Hikes had a bigger effect on the real economy at this point. Let's ask Michael Darda. He's chief economist and macro strategist at Roth Capital Partners. Mike, I think this would actually be a fun thing to reflect on because we both would admit probably to being surprised at the resilience we've seen. And I keep going back to maybe it's fiscal stimulus that just, you know, we were talking to a guest yesterday. They do tons of water infrastructure projects. He's got tons of business coming from the Inflation Reduction Act and so on and so forth. Jim Paulson and some others are trying to kind of tally up this gravy train that keeps running, so to speak. I mean, I'm just curious for your thoughts on all of that.
Gravy train? So what she's talking about, the Inflation Reduction Act, it pumped out, and I'll show you the numbers here in a little bit. It's astonishing. But then we were going to take a little bit of a closer look at where that money is being spent. That's where you're going to get a little concerned. But let's get back to the interview.
Hi, Kelly. Thanks for having me on. No doubt about it. I mean, this has been a unique business cycle in many ways, has surprised many of us, probably most of us, in terms of its resilience. And I do think it comes down to the fact that, yes, you know, we had record stimulus from the monetary and fiscal side. And we had all these shocks from the pandemic, some of which have been reversing course over the last year plus, that helped to give the economy a bit of a supply side boost, whether that's global supply chains or a boost in the labor supply. And Fed Chair Powell has talked about this. So we could just be in an environment where monetary policy still works, are simply longer. And just as everyone is lulled into this idea that there's no recession out there as far as the eye can see, and the Fed is either going to get it just right with the timing of their cuts, or in some case, some folks are arguing they shouldn't be cutting at all. I still think it's a bit premature to embrace those viewpoints.
Right. If we waited a couple of months, we'd go, well, there's the effect. It hadn't quite hit yet. But let's kind of continue the thought experiment. If you were on stage there at Jackson Hole and given this assignment of why don't you think we've had a bigger, stronger, even quicker, I know maybe you'd say by historical standards it's not that unusual, but let's just presume this rate hiking cycle was so extreme that we would have thought maybe it would have had a bigger, quicker impact, and it hasn't. Why would you posit that is?
Well, I think it's actually fairly straightforward, but it's going to kind of be an unsatisfying answer, at least for most of the FOMCers, because they know they can't model and predict this perfectly. But the neutral interest rate has obviously been much higher in this cycle than the prior cycle. Mm-hmm. So that one was characterized by a massive financial crisis and a lot of deleveraging. And that's why short-term interest rates went to zero, stayed there for a long time. And yet, what do we have? A very slow cycle with very low inflation. A lot of people confused that with easy monetary policy, but it was just a very depressed, neutral policy rate. And the Fed cannot run afoul of the neutral rate without creating upheaval in the business cycle. Now, the most recent policy error, obviously, was the Fed with its primacy recency bias, assuming that this cycle was exactly like the last, and they fell way behind the curve, and we had a 2-year inflation overshoot.
Right.
And they have caught up now. Okay, so now I think the risk is if they are at least in somewhat of a restrictive stance and we know things are softening. I mean, look, the unemployment rate, we can debate on whether it's the labor force or weak hiring or some set of forces. But if the unemployment rate is moving up in a sustained way, and that was the case even before the July jobs figures, it means the economy is growing slower than the growth rate of potential.
Yeah.
Okay, so what I want to show you guys too is these numbers over here, the unemployment rate, this has got to move even higher because yesterday they did an analysis of these numbers and they said we missed 816,000 people, 816,000 people more on the unemployment list. So this number is going to go up, folks. So that's a concern as well.
If it's growing at all. So that's a very different circumstance than where we were when the Fed was having to catch up with these 75 basis point rate hikes. And so this is why soft landings are so difficult and only really one in the past. Sorry, go ahead.
I just want to make sure people caught that you said we've only had one soft landing in the past and they are very difficult. Is it possible that the immigration surge, unauthorized workers plus legal immigration, both of those forces are a key part of the reason why the unemployment rate's been rising?
I think they're certainly part of the reason. I guess I'm not so relieved by that fact in terms of business cycle risk. I guess it's a unique circumstance, but if you look back at all the recessions since the end of World War II, about half of them featured a rising participation rate and half of them a falling participation rate. So it doesn't really undermine the key theme, which is that if you're growing slower than the growth rate of potential, the unemployment rate's going to move up. That means there's slack building in the economy. All of the things equal, the neutral interest rate then starts to move lower, even though it's been higher for most of this recovery than most have anticipated. And that's where you really do get into this risk that the Fed falls behind the curve and an actual recession unfolds with very high equity market valuations, at least if we're talking about the S&P 500. Recession or not, when you're up at a 21-22 forward multiple, the outlook for 10-year forward returns is exceptionally weak. And if something goes wrong in the business cycle, then even more so. I know there's a lot of optimism out there, and certainly this cycle is surprised to the upside in many ways, but you know, we could be at a turning point of sorts here. And so, you know, I think we need to be a bit sober about where we are and what the risks are.
Indeed. I know you want a half point. I don't think they'll do that. So we'll get to find out what happens if they don't. Mike, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. I just want to make this final point. Inflation expectations, forward-looking in the bond market, five-year TIPS spread has fallen 60 basis points since the spring of this year. That means even if the Fed does 50 in September, they will not fully offset that. Does the Fed really want the real policy rate on a forward-looking basis moving higher at a time when the unemployment rate is moving up and the labor market's losing steam? That's what I would ask them if I were out there.
Well, we will see if we...
Great points he made. So let's break a lot of this down. The first thing I want to go through, and you know my pet peeve right through here. We hit 35. Look at that. We're at 35 trillion 250 billion. We just hit 35 trillion a couple weeks ago. So we've already added 250 billion billion to the deficit. So why do I say this? Well, right through here. Here's the Clean Energy Act that they passed recently, and it's going to cost the taxpayers. It says right here, from tax reform and prescription, but it's still going to cost $891 billion. It's the Inflation Reduction Act. So, but it's kind of the clean energy bill. Why do I say that? Well, here it is. It says 2 years. You know, this is basically tackling climate crisis and creating jobs. So they're going to fix the climate crisis with EV jobs and battery jobs and all the other stuff. And those, in essence, will create jobs. But here's what I have a problem with. So a lot of this is going to solar companies. So I just did a chat GPT. You guys know I love it. Right up through here, what solar companies receive Inflation Reduction Act money? The first the number one is First Solar. So I'm like, okay, what do they do? Let's dive into basically their management. Here's their management salaries, okay, their compensation. Let's just go through a couple of them. All right, you have the CEO, Mark. He's making $7.7 million, okay? Then we have Alexander, who's making $3.1 million. So now that's at 10, so let's say $11 million a year. Then we go to Jason. He's making another $3 million. Then Marcus is making another $3 million. And then you got Kuntal. He's making another $3 million. So these are just the top five people. The five people, just top five people for solar. So what do we have? 3, 6, 9, 10, 11, 12. We got $20 million in compensation for these guys here. That's where your hard-earned tax money is going. This is just one piece of the puzzle. I looked at the other companies that were in here. You have SolarCycle. Well, you can't figure out their data because they're a privately owned company, so they don't have to provide that information. The other company down here is Enlon North America, where they're a subsidiary of something. So if you go over here, they don't really have to supply their information as well. So we have one, just one company spending $10 or $12 million a year just on the salaries. Okay, so a little excessive? Yeah, maybe. Okay, so then let's go through. More and more officials, Fed officials, are coming out today and saying, you know, rates are going to be cut in September. So I don't understand one piece of the puzzle that's going on today. It's the bond market is getting hammered and mortgage rates are coming up. I don't know why, because one of the things that we see over here in the economic calendar for today, let's jump up to here so you guys can understand what's going on today. We'll zoom up this a little bit so you guys can see what's going on. So you tell me if this is a strong economy. We have right through here, let me move this over just a little bit. We have the jobless claims, people filing first-time jobless claims. Last reading was 228,000, went to 232. So jobless claims, so more people unemployed, more people are staying on unemployment. You can see that right through here. The manufacturing index is dropping. We have the servicing index stabilizing. This was up big last time. And then you have existing home sales coming in much better than expected. Right through here, existing home sales was minus 5.4 previously, and it's a positive 1.3. One of the reasons is rates are coming down. People are feeling a little more comfortable with things. So that's what we have going on there. But one of the other things that they talked about when, you know, when should the Federal Reserve drop the rates? What's the neutral rate and everything else? So what I want you guys to understand today is, let's go over through here. It's, again, you know, I love ChatGPT. I hope you guys get this. It's free. You know, you can even get it on your phone. Here's what I want you to understand. What does it mean when, hold on, I got to put my glasses on. I'm an old guy. You guys know that. When the Fed is restricting at the time, comparing the federal funds rate to inflation, when they start saying, you know, is the Federal Reserve actually restrictive right now? Are they loose? Are they doing what? Basically, it's this. When the federal funds rate, the rate the Federal Reserve controls, is higher than the inflation rate, then they're restrictive. Well, how restrictive are they? Well, if you go down through here, and I just did this, and you can see it actually figured it out, and I didn't put. So right now, truly, the federal funds rate right here is 5.375. You're seeing that right on the screen. So this just says an example. And they made it simple. So the federal funds rate, if it was 5, then you subtract the inflation rate, they're saying is 3. So if that number is positive, that means the Federal Reserve is restrictive enough. If it's negative, then they need to raise rates. Well, we have right now a federal funds rate at 5.3. We have an inflation rate of about 3.1. So we're actually 2% or more of restrictiveness. So that's how much, basically, the Federal Reserve could cut the federal funds rate. Now, that doesn't mean that interest rates on mortgages and everything else are just going to completely adjust at that time. You have to understand the bond market. And that's why I really want you guys to follow me on a daily basis so you can understand the dynamics of the bond market, how that plays a role with interest rates, inflation, jobs report, and everything else. And that's what we try to explain here on a daily basis. So the federal funds rate right now, people are saying, Dan, you don't have to post this every day. Well, I like to, because I want to show you the volatility. We now have, once again, a complete change. Now they're saying that in September, they're going to cut rates by a quarter. That's what shows in this chart here. And then in the November, they're saying that they're going to cut it all the way now an additional quarter or half a percent from there. So now we were looking at, we basically know that there's a rate cut coming in September. I'm going to say it's going to be 25 basis points unless more and more data comes out showing restrictiveness. And we had that yesterday in the jobs report. The jobs report, you know, it didn't account for 816,000 people not working. Okay, so that's a big move there. So I don't know why the bond market is doing what it's doing today. So, you know, how we follow interest rates here on a daily basis is we follow this. It's a mortgage bond that trades on Wall Street. When this the number goes down, the price of the bond goes down, yields go up. This is a pretty big move. And all we have basically today is bad jobs numbers. We had existing home sales ticking up. But other than that, there was really no data in the market. So I don't know if this is profit-taking or what's going on right now. So I'll be back tomorrow. We'll analyze the economic news out at that time and continue down this journey. But you might ask, you know, Dan, what do you do? You know, I know you do this report on a daily basis, but I just want to explain to you guys, I'm actually a loan officer. I do mortgages for a living. That's what I do. I've done it for 35 years. I'd love to help you. Okay, so how to find out more about me is go to the rate update. Here's my website. I actually created this thing. If you're looking to buy that first house, what I need you to do is right there. There's a grant finder program or link we have up there. We add to this all the time, so make sure you check it. If you're looking to buy that first house, if you go in there right now, there's national grants as well as grants in the Chicagoland area because we just got money from the Federal Reserve Bank of Chicago, $1 million to help out people in the Chicagoland area buy homes. So that's what we got right now. But if you're out there, you're saying, okay, I'd love to see if I can buy that first house, maybe buy first investment property. How do I refinance my current house, take out some equity to buy another house? We have a lot of people asking those questions. I'm here to help you. Okay. What I ask you to do is just give me the pieces of the puzzle and let me help you navigate this task. So how do you reach out to us? Just hit the apply now button. You're going to be asked to schedule an appointment. We do that because we're not trying to hard sell you. We're just there to, you know, we want to hear your story and we want to help you, you know, guide you along the way. And that's what we're going to do that for. But if you're like, Dan, can I call in? Can I email somebody just with a quick question? Yeah, you can do both of those. You scroll down to the bottom of our website. And there it is. There's our 800 number right through there. And my email address is right here, dan@therateupdate.com. And yes, it's me, and I will be replying. So thank you so much. If you haven't subscribed yet, we hit 30,000 subscribers about 2 weeks ago, and we're adding about 200-300 a week. So if you want to add on to that list, please just click the subscribe button right down through there, and you're on your way of learning more about real estate.